Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 25, we'll read down through verse 31 and we'll read every other verse. I'll start with verse 25 and then you can join me out loud on the every other verse. We'll end at verse number 31, Acts 8, 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And we'll all read verse 31 as well. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. We take our text today in two different places in our from our reading. The Bible says in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go. Verse number 27, and he arose and went. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near. In verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him. You were here last Sunday. You remember we brought a message from the Bible in this hour on learning to say no. Well, this morning, I'd like to preach a message from God's Word on learning to say yes. Learning to say yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. It is powerful. And I pray, Lord, that even from the reading of your Word, just now, that it has spoke to us. It has challenged us. Now, I need your help, Lord. Every time we open your word and preach and teach, there's no way I can do anything in my own flesh. And so I pray that you would empty me of myself. And I pray you'd fill me with your Spirit. And even now, in this hour, I would say yes to the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be Spirit-filled listeners, those of us that are saved. And then, Lord, those that have yet to say yes for salvation, I pray that today they would that they would recognize how urgent the hour is. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The subject of the hour that God has led me to speak on today could be the greatest need we have in this congregation. In fact, I would say that it could be the greatest need that you have in your life. Whether you're a Christian or not, it matters not. Because in some way, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to learn to say yes. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ and you don't know Christ as Savior, then you too need to say yes. You don't need to say yes to me. You don't need to say yes to the ushers. You don't need to say yes to the baptismal tank. You need to say yes to Jesus. Learning to say yes. I submit to you this morning in the way of introduction that the greatest need of the hour is not a new building. That is not our greatest need. The greatest need of the hour is not more money. It's not the greatest need. The greatest need of the hour is not a bigger crowd. Oh, if we could only have a bigger crowd. We can't get much bigger, can we, in this building. But that's why it's not the greatest need. Anyway, the greatest need of the hour isn't more people. Don't leave me yet. The greatest need of the hour is not more ministries. Pastor, did you bonk your head too along with this? Too much radiation, huh? The greatest need of the hour is not more laborers. We could have a room full of people that don't know how to say yes, and we won't go anywhere. We could have a pastor that doesn't know how to say yes, and we won't go anywhere. We can have members that don't know how to say yes, and we'll never grow. We could have attendees that don't know how to say yes, and it'll just be the same old, same old. However, I find in the Word of God that it's very clear that if we learn to say yes, revival will come. If we learn to say yes, our life will be truly changed. Not just a temporary change, but it will truly be changed if we learn to say yes. I read recently this quote, "To be victorious in the Christian life, we must surrender full control to the Holy Spirit every day." I tell you today, and I believe from the Word of God, we will see this, that the greatest need we have is every day what we just said, and that is to surrender full control to the Spirit of God. If you're saved, you have God's Spirit in you, but guess what? You can say no to the Spirit of God if you want to. And if you say, and if I say no to the Spirit of God, you can just kiss spiritual growth right out the window because it's never going to come. If you say no and I say no to the Spirit of God, my marriage is not going to be honoring to the Lord. If I say no to the Spirit of God, my parenting is not going to be honoring to God. If I say no to the Spirit of God, whatever I'm trying to accomplish for God is going to fail. Because we must have the Spirit of God and the fullness of the Spirit of God. This is not spooky message today. This is Bible message. Don't run from the Holy Spirit. You need God's Spirit. I need God's Spirit. But we need to listen and say yes to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God many times is knocking on my heart and knocking on your heart, and He's telling you what to do, and He's telling us where to go. And it's not this audible voice from heaven, but it's this inner voice of the Holy Spirit of God that is leading and leading and leading, and we're not following and following and following. In fact, we're saying no when we need to be saying yes. To be victorious in the Christian life, we must surrender full control to the Holy Spirit every day. This is the greatest need, saying yes to the Spirit of God. And by the way, God's Spirit will always lead you according to God's Word. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This book was written by, it's God-breathed, it's inspired. The Holy Spirit of God gave those 40-plus authors the words to write. So God's Spirit will always lead. So if we don't have time for the Bible, then we don't have time to say yes to the Spirit. It won't work. You can't keep this book closed and expect to say yes to the Spirit. It's not going to work. Romans 8, verse 9, would you turn over there quickly? As much as my heart was burdened last week about saying no, I must admit my heart is even greater burden today for me as a man, not just as, I'm not saying as a pastor, but as a man who identifies as being a Christian, that I would learn to say yes. How many times have I said no? How many times have you said no to the Spirit of God? And within a short period of time, you realize that I just said no to the Spirit of God. What was I thinking? See, the Spirit of God always leads us according to the Word of God. And while you have and I have the Spirit of God as believers, God wants it to be much more than just having the Spirit of God. He desires that not just I have the Spirit of God, but that the Spirit of God has me. Look what it says in Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, Romans 8, 9, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. You might want to mark that down. The Spirit of God, as a Christian, God's Spirit. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is dwelling in you. Jesus is at the right hand of God today, interceding on your behalf. And so we have God the Father and God the Son there in heaven today. And the God the Holy Spirit is in you today. If you're a believer, He dwells in you. He dwells in me. And by the way, He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. Even when you say, and I say no to the Spirit doesn't leave me. Praise God for that. My eternal security is not in me saying yes to the Spirit every day. Think about it. My eternal security is based on the fact that I said yes to the Spirit and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior once. Once and for all. But, every day, the greatest need I have is to say yes to the Holy Spirit of God. Not for my salvation, but for my direction in my daily life. Because I don't know where to go, you know, without the leading of the Spirit. Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians in chapter number 5. The introduction is long. The message is not so long. Would you just let the Word of God through His Spirit speak to you today? It's my burden that we would say yes today. Yes. What we're saying is found in Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Ephesians 5 and verse 17, where the Bible says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Notice the context of what we're reading. If I just stop right there, you know what I think? I have no clue what the will of God is. Right? I mean, in my own thinking, me, just little old me, you know, 50 years old, coming up on 51. I have no idea. But thankfully, the Bible didn't stop right there, did it? So let's read it again. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now the next verse is big. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." All right, we're not talking about alcohol today. I've got that little booklet. You can come buy that afterwards, okay? That's not what we're talking about. But we're going to compare something, okay? "But be filled with the Spirit." So if I'm going to understand what the will of God is, verse number 17, then I must be filled with the Spirit. Now, the Bible makes it clear that you already have the Spirit. We read that a moment ago in Romans 8, 9. All right? When you got saved, God gave you the Holy Spirit. What a gift. Amen? What a gift. And not, I mean, think about it. God didn't just give us heaven. He gave us so much more. I mean, really, heaven is the cherry on top. Because right now, we have the Holy Spirit. We have a Bible. I mean, you know, we'll have all these things in heaven as well, but I'm just thankful that it wasn't get saved and then you have to try to figure it out until you die. And then heaven's going to be great. Well, heaven's going to be great. I'll tell you what, right now it's pretty good too. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's difficult. Things happen, but you know what? I have the Spirit of God. I have the Word of God. I mean, oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. But just because I have the Spirit of God doesn't mean I'm filled with the Spirit of God. That word has to do with control. See the comparison that Paul makes? He makes the comparison between too much alcohol and being filled with the Spirit. Too much alcohol controls someone in a way that they don't have control of themselves. That's a very sad thing. We're not making fun of that at all today. It's very serious. But in that way, again, I didn't write the Bible. The Holy Spirit did. Decided to make that as a comparison to you and me being filled every day with the Spirit of God. Meaning that the Holy Spirit of God is in control of my life every day. I'm willing to yield everything to the Holy Spirit of God and to His leadership in my life. Notice it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things and to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. These are things that come along with it. Verse 19 and verse 20 and verse 21, these are things that come along with it. So this morning there is a clarion call, a clarion call. And the call is this, not for laborers, not for a building, not for money, not for more people. But the call today is to all of us that are here, and if you're joining us by way of live stream, then the call today is that we would every day say, I'm surrendering this day before I leave my home, and I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. That means I want God to control. That means my lips are surrendered to God. I won't put anything in those that should not be in there. I won't say anything out of them what should not be said. If we just go about our day in a normal way, guess what? I'm not filled with the Spirit. I'm filled with me and what me wants to do and what me wants to say. The Bible is filled with many commands. There are things that I am told not to do, and there are things that I am told to do. We find one here in Ephesians, the command to be filled with the Spirit. This command should be followed in the same degree as any other command in the Bible. God expects me, God expects us to be filled with His Spirit, just like He expects me to not be stealing, committing adultery, coveting. He also, or as to be holy, or to give my tithes and offerings, or to be a witness. And by the way, all of these things come out of one other thing. Really, the Christian life can be boiled down to one principle, and that is saying yes. Saying yes. Saying yes to the Spirit of God. And when you open this book in the morning and you read this book and you see something in this book that really kind of burns in your heart or convicts you in some way, then you know what you need to do? You need to stop right there and say, you know what? Yes. Yes. Whatever it is, yes. God, I see it right there. That verse was for me this morning. Maybe you need to get a notebook out and write that down and put down the date, April 22. Tomorrow's the 22nd, is that right? April 22, 2024. I said yes to, and write it right in the verse or something like that. And keep a journal and just document this. But it's so simple. But yet the devil is so sneaky. Because the devil, he wants you to say yes to the wrong people and no to the right people. Or person, I should say. The Holy Spirit of God. I'm so thankful we have a patient, loving God, aren't you? Because I have failed so many times. I have failed so many times. And yet God gives me another opportunity every morning. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Do you know today that when you say yes to the Holy Spirit of God, you are saying yes to His power? Power. You know what you need power for? Well, I can tell you some things I need power for. Maybe you can relate. I need power to say no to temptation. Anybody else ever get tempted before? Anybody else recognize that? Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, I think it's probably happened a few times, you know, like in the last, you know, half a day. And so I need power. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit of God enables me and enables you. When we say yes to the filling of the Holy Spirit of God and that temptation comes, all those things we talked about last Sunday, When those temptations come, we can say no to them. Why? Because we said yes to the Holy Spirit of God. We can say no to whatever because we said yes to the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God gives us that power. Every believer needs this power. By the way, this power is not just reserved for someone who's preaching the Bible. This power is not just reserved for our missionaries. And by the way, take time to read the missionary updates. Take time to follow along. Take time to email them. You know what? We think, oh, the pastors and the missionaries, they need the power of God. Do you know what? A mom who's at home, a single mom who's at home, or a young adult, or a teenager, or a youth, it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You need the power of God. You need that filling of the Spirit of God in your life because the enemy is so sneaky and so devilish and he's so deceptive. But if we say yes to the Spirit of God, then we have power. Oh, I need that power. You need that power. That power is not to be used for our own good, but it's to be used to say no and to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit of God is necessary for a welder. The Holy Spirit of God power is necessary for a teacher and a parent and a retiree. It's necessary for a pastor, a missionary, a Sunday school teacher, a new believer, an old believer. The power of the Holy Spirit of God is not spooky and we should not run from it just because some other crazy places out there teach it the wrong way. We're teaching it from the Word of God, and we need the power that comes by the Spirit of God, but it comes when we say yes. You see, Philip in our original text. Okay? Let's go back there before I run out of air. Look at Acts chapter 8, please. Thank you for praying for me. I'm just thanking God every day. Thanking God every day. Thanking God every day. He's so good. You see, saying yes to the Holy Spirit of God is saying yes to His power. Another thought, saying yes to the Holy Spirit of God is saying yes to His way. To His way. Notice this is one of my favorite Bible events. I've preached through the entire book of Acts years ago. And you could preach through it again and just start over. And I mean, it's just amazing. This transitional book. It's a book of transition. Okay? Getting into the church now. And but let's keep moving. But look at verse number 26. We emphasized it a moment ago. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, the previous verses talk about a tremendous revival that's been going on. And now all of a sudden, in the middle of this revival, the Holy Spirit of God says to Philip, Hey, Philip, I got a mission for you. You're going to go to a desert. Yeah, sign me up. I can't wait to go to the desert, right? Are there any palm trees in the desert? I hope there's an oasis there because I'm going to get thirsty when I get there, you know? I don't know if this is going through Philip's mind, but I'm telling you what would be going through my mind. Hey, Ben, I'm going to send you to the desert. Oh, okay. I don't know if I'd say sure really quick, you know? But Philip did. Notice it says here, he arose and went. Because he said yes to the Spirit. And so because he said yes to the Spirit, he learned the way of the Spirit. And the more that we say yes to the Spirit, we're going to learn the way the Spirit leads. Right? It's just like learning anything else. When you get on the bike for the first time, it's difficult. But after a while, you learn how to do it. The more we say yes to the Spirit, the easier it becomes to say yes to the Spirit. I didn't say it becomes easy. It just becomes easier. But it does. It helps us to learn the way of the Spirit, what He's trying to communicate. Notice verse number 29. It was the angel of the Lord in verse 26. And now the Spirit of God said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And notice, if you will, what Philip did in verse 30. He said yes. How did he say yes? Philip ran thither to him. God was bringing Philip into the desert to meet one man. Now, that's not really the story today, but that is a byproduct of learning to say yes to the Spirit of God. Because we will learn the way of the Spirit of God. The way of the Spirit of God in this case was he needed Philip to go and meet this Ethiopian eunuch who the Spirit of God already knew would be reading the Bible from Isaiah. See, the Spirit of God is God. Amen? He is God. That means he's all-knowing. That means he's omnipresent. So that means when he told Philip to go to the Ethiopian, or when he told Philip to go to the desert, he already knew what was going to happen. And so when we say yes to the Spirit of God, we begin to learn the way of the Spirit of God. When we say no, here's what happens. We miss out on those opportunities that the Holy Spirit of God is presenting us. That's already there, but we can't see it. But we say yes to the Spirit of God. Philip went all the way into the desert of Gaza for one man. This one man got saved, praise the Lord. Why did this one man get saved? Because Jesus Christ died for his sins, right? That's why he got saved. That's why you got saved. But he needed someone to show him from Isaiah what it was all about. So, in a way, he got saved because a Christian said yes to the Holy Spirit of God. I heard a message this morning, and actually it wasn't in the message, it was in a part of the service where the pastor said, they were showing up on the screen, this was a live stream service, they were showing up on the screen some missionaries that they were praying for that week. And one of the missionaries came up on the screen, and they were missionaries somewhere over in Europe. And he said, oh, by the way, Mrs. Missionary, I can't remember their names. He said, this young lady here has an unbelievable testimony. See, this young lady, she got saved because somebody gave a gospel tract to her drunken father. Now follow this. Her drunken father put the tract in his pocket and went home. And her mother cleaned out his pockets, pulled out the gospel tract that was in her husband's pocket, who read the tract, got saved. The next morning, when her daughter got up, she told her daughter the gospel, and her daughter got saved. Now her daughter's a missionary, was on the screen this morning with a family somewhere over in Europe. I'm just telling you something. Somebody said yes to the Spirit of God and gave that one gospel tract, and maybe has no idea to this day. And in heaven, talk about a party. Talk about a celebration. Talk about just to God be the glory, right? This isn't about the person that gave it out necessarily. But if they had said no, if they hadn't said yes, that story might not be the same. I'm just saying we have a God who has a desire to take my little life and your little life. And when we say yes to God, we can make a difference in one person's life, in two people's, in three, two persons. Is it people's or persons? Anyway, we can make a difference in someone's life the more that we say yes to the Spirit of God. The Bible says that Philip said yes. We won't take time today to turn to it, but in Genesis chapter 12, a man by the name of Abram said yes. God said, okay, Abram, pack up. You're moving. Okay, where am I going? I'll let you know later. You're just moving. Wow. Okay. You know what he did? He said yes. And he started moving. Genesis 12, 1 to 4. You can mark it down and read it. Brother Yassine, do you have that? Do you have any pictures to show? You have a fountain picture there somewhere. Can we pull that up, please? I don't know, can you see that over there on the other side too? Is there a fountain over there? Okay, good. So I want you to just look at this fountain and listen for just a moment as we consider this saying yes. If we prioritize, see, the problem is this in my life is I'm saying yes, but it's out of the wrong priority. Okay? You'll see what I mean. I think this helped me understand it, and I hope it'll help you, okay? Notice that the fountain has several tiers, okay? By tiers, we mean these guys right here. There's three tiers on that fountain, okay? In our life, let's use this fountain as a picture of your life and mine. And the levels of this fountain, the tiers of this fountain, are the priorities that we have. And I'm gonna use the top one. I won't point at it because I don't want to tip over. I was going to do that, but I'm holding on here. The top one, even though it's the smallest, just follow me. The top one is the most important tier on this fountain. It is the one that if we fill it first, everything else catches the overflow. Got it? But if I focus on this one, these two are not going to get anything. But here's the thing. As Christians, many times, and this one, obviously, the top one, is my relationship with God. And today we're talking about saying yes to the Spirit. So this top tier right here, boom. That's me saying yes to the Spirit of God every morning, every afternoon, every evening. And the more, every time I say yes to the Spirit of God, that tier is going to fill up. Now, these next two tiers below it represent the other priorities in my life, okay? This second tier would represent maybe everything to do with my family. And that gets more, I say complicated, not in a negative way. Okay, that's not negative, but I'm just saying it can be complicated and it can be, maybe that's not the right word, but it just becomes more of a need. But the thing is, a lot of times we say, hey, we've got to take care of the family. We've got to fill this up. But guess what happens? This one's not going to have what it needs to have. By the way, God doesn't expect us to ignore our family, by the way. Please don't think that's what I'm saying. But what I am saying is from the Bible, Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. And so as I'm filled with the Spirit, and guess what happens? It runs over, and I have the power of the Spirit, and I have the way of the Spirit, and it runs over down into my family. Guess what happens? Then my family gets blessed by the way and the power of the Spirit of God. And then that one fills up. And then we get down here maybe to the bottom. And this one, you know, is my work and ministry at church and, you know, whatever else. You can just throw it all into that last one, I guess. Yet unfortunately, too many times in my life, I've started on three at the bottom. But guess what? When I do that, I run out of energy real quick. And really, I say yes. I'm not saying yes to the right place and people. Now, we need laborers. Don't get me wrong. But what do we need more important than that? We need Spirit-filled ones. Amen. we need pastors. We need, hey, you know, there's so many even independent Baptist churches today across Canada that don't have a pastor. Pray with me about that. But you know what? Anchor Baptist Church doesn't need a pastor. It needs a Spirit-filled pastor. Please pray with me about that. I need to be Spirit-filled. These churches need Spirit-filled. Hey, your wife needs a Spirit-filled husband. Your husband needs a Spirit-filled wife. Your kids need a Spirit-filled dad and a Spirit-filled mom. Listen to this. Your employer who's lost, unsaved, on their way to hell, needs a Spirit-filled Christian. You know what? You may be the only light that boss ever sees. You may be the only light that boss ever sees. So what must you do before you go to work tomorrow morning, sir and ma'am? You need to go right up here to that top tier and you need to say, I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. What you're saying is, Holy Spirit of God, I yield my decisions over to you today. And by the way, He will lead you in the right way. He will give you the power and whatever else you need. When the top bowl gets full of water, it naturally overflows to the next bowl and so on. Let's bring this to a close, okay? Would you go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3? Thank you for that picture. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, everything so far, thank you for your attention to the Lord, everything so far has really been to the believer, someone who's been saved. Someone who knows they're on their way to heaven. If you don't know you're on your way to heaven, you can't be filled with the Spirit. It's impossible. Because you don't have the Spirit yet. And by the way, we've been preaching this gospel. Praise the Lord for the gospel. Amen. We've been preaching this gospel here for almost 23 years. To God be the glory. I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of God. I'm so thankful there's other churches in Burnaby that are preaching the gospel. I'm so thankful there's other churches in Vancouver that are preaching the gospel. Be thankful for that. That the gospel is being preached. But I find in the Bible that there may come a day in your life when you can no longer say yes and get saved. Because it's too late. I'm going to get saved one day. You know, there's going to be a day when you can't say yes anymore. Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. The Bible says, verse number 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the what? Men of corrupt minds, notice this next word, reprobate concerning the faith. Too late. It's too late. You said no one too many times. Quickly turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. Please continue to just stay with me here. I'm so burdened about somebody, maybe in this crowd here this morning, that you've never said yes to Jesus for salvation, and you just think, I can put it off, I can put it off, I can put it off. Notice, if you will, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I guess I should get there. Verse number 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the what? Truth. Just because you're hearing it doesn't mean you're receiving it. So these are people that heard it, but they did not receive it. Notice what it says here. This is so convicting. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That means they said no, 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 no. Time and time again. They heard it. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Oh, if you don't think that's happening today, oh my, it's happening today. Times 100. That they all might be damned. Using Bible language in its context, who believed not the what? Truth. You see, there's going to come a day, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There's going to come a day in your life where it's the last time you're going to hear and even have a chance to say yes. Then you're going to be given that delusion, if you will, or there's going to come something in your life.